Welcome to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. In this episode, I speak with Inner Circle member Terry. And one of the really amazing things about this episode specifically is Terry discussed the moment in which she realized she finally had to make a change. And she spoke about what she did to make that change possible and long-lasting, and the struggles she went through along the process, and how she never gave up, and even with all the ups and downs, she stayed consistent, and that's what's allowed her to make progress over the long term. I hope you enjoy it. Any questions, please let me know. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave a rating on iTunes. They really do help a lot. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Hello?
Terry.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good morning. What's going on?
Oh, not much. I'm just sitting at my desk at work.
I love it. And where do you work?
I work at a community college.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to get on the phone. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
So basically, before we dive in and start talking about everything, could you just like give some background? Just tell me a little bit more about yourself and so there's a little bit more context as to who you are and what you do and everything.
Okay, so I teach at a community college, and so I have times during the year when I'm super, super busy, and then times when my schedule's a little bit more relaxed, and I found that that plays a really big factor in how things go for me. So just to dive back into like when I very first started with the weight loss journey, back in 2004, so it's been many years ago, I kind of had that moment. You talk about that when people have that life-changing moment. Yep. And I had that then. And I'll go ahead and tell you now because you might ask. I actually was sitting in the Walmart parking lot. I had just guzzled down a Krispy Kreme, some kind of frozen drink that they made. And I realized that I didn't even take the time to enjoy it. And I just felt disgusted at that moment and decided I was going to do something to change. And so at that point, I just started doing like eating using a divided plate method because I didn't want to count calories. And I started exercising regularly. And I, over the course of about a year and a half, I lost about 40 to 45 pounds. And I managed to maintain that for 3 years until I started a new job and I got my master's degree, or I started working on my master's degree, and then didn't have quite as much time to work out, and so I was a little bit less focused, so I gained about half of my weight back. And let's see, from there, after I finished my master's degree, then I started following the paleo diet, and I got really entrenched in like really strict eating rules, and I was restricting a lot of foods, and I wouldn't eat a salad because I couldn't put dressing on it because the dressing had sugar in it, so, which is kind of crazy when I think about it now.
Unfortunately, it happens to a lot of people, but the best part is that you can look back on it now and be like, okay, that probably wasn't the most balanced approach, but it's all right. So keep going.
So anyway, definitely developed some disordered eating habits doing that. I started exercising again to the point that I was scared to take rest days because I thought if I take that rest day, then I won't. Because I had a few years there where I wasn't very consistent, so I was scared if I stopped every day, like if I just took a break, that I would fall back into my old patterns. Realized with that at some point that every now and then my body forced me to take a rest day because I would just feel really crummy. And I finally connected the dots, and I was like, oh, that's because I'm pushing my body too hard, and it's telling me to stop. I lost down to probably my lowest weight at that point, but I was 100% miserable. All of my mental energy was thinking about what I could and couldn't eat. And about that same time, I started finding some people that were promoting more sensible approaches to weight loss and promoting not restricting foods, but, you know, just eating in moderation. And so in 2014, so 10 years after I initially started, I decided that I was going to start trusting those people and what they were saying. So I quit restricting foods. I quit dieting. But I had an entire year where I kind of rebounded the opposite way, and I just ate anything that I hadn't allowed myself to eat. I ate. And so I gained a weight back up almost to my heaviest, except in that time I started lifting weights. So prior to that, I wasn't really lifting weights. I was doing more cardio workouts. So when I gained all of that weight back, I was still two sizes smaller than when I was at my heaviest before.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so definitely made a believer out of me for the weightlifting. So
that's just incredible, and I'll let you continue. It's really cool to hear that simply just even though you were almost back at your heaviest weight, you could still see the difference visually from like two sizes smaller. That's amazing.
Right. So then I in 2015 I joined a small habit group working with a coach where we every 2 weeks we pick a new habit. And because I had been trying to implement habits, I had read a book, The Power of Habit, and it was really intriguing. And I was like, I think I can use this to help me, because I couldn't at that point eat in moderation. I didn't know how. And I'm a teacher, and so like I use the analogy that some students, when you teach them something, some students pick it up really easy and other students struggle with it. And I was like that with eating in moderation. It was not something that was intuitive to me, and I had to learn how to do that. So through my work with this habit coach, or this coach in this habit group, I started eating consistently, like 3 meals a day without snacking. I was eating until I was satisfied. When I got satisfied, I stopped. I was more mindful when I was eating, which helped. That helped me stop when I was satisfied. So just a series of habits that honestly, I had to work on those for about an entire year before I started seeing any weight loss. And I just kept telling myself that entire year, I had a mantra that I would repeat, and it was trust the process. Somehow intuitively, I just knew that that was the right thing to do. And so I just kept saying, trust the process. At some point, you're going to have enough of these habits consistently in place that you'll start losing weight. And that did happen. So probably about 2016, I started losing very slowly. It was like 1 pound a month, but I was like excited about that because I was like, in 2 years, I'll probably be where I want to be. And then I tore my rotator cuff and had to have surgery, gained some weight back after that surgery, got back on where the habits were consistent again, lost a little bit of weight. Then that's kind of when I had to have another surgery, and I don't respond very well. Takes me a few months after a surgery for my appetite to get back to normal. So I had a second surgery, and that was when like menopause hit, or the effects, where like, it was like I was living in a body that wasn't my body. And I struggled with that for months and months, trying to figure out, you know, what happened to the old me and how do I get back to the old me? So I just kept plugging away with these habits. And then I will have to say, since I emailed you, things have kind of clicked back into place for me. So in the last 4 weeks, I've been doing really well, real consistent with my workouts, been eating at a calorie deficit consistently, and have noticed a couple of changes as a result of that. So that kind of wraps it up.
Well, got it. Well, that's amazing. That's absolutely incredible. And so first and foremost, there's a lot that happened that I would love to unpack and discuss. First and foremost, I mean, something as simple as at the very beginning, you said you were just sort of sitting in your car and you had just finished the Krispy Kreme drink and you realized that you hadn't enjoyed it at all, and that like you almost felt disgusted. Like, and that was the moment that sort of kickstarted like this health journey, we'll call it. Had there been moments leading up to that in which like you had thought about wanting to start, you had thought about like wanting to start losing weight and getting healthier and lifting weights, but you just hadn't taken action? Or like, was this really just the very first time it ever even sort of crossed your mind?
Oh no, I had, let's see, I'm gonna start at that time. My boys, my youngest one was born in 92, so he wasn't quite 10 yet. I had tried diets off and on, but nothing real seriously. And I've always been, I love to work out. When I was in high school, I took PE every single year. I was the only girl that did that in our small high school. But after I got out of college and got married, we didn't have the money for me to join a gym. And my husband worked an opposite shift of me, so didn't really have the opportunity to be involved in any kind of activity. So the workouts, I wasn't working out at all. So I kind of tried to diet, but not real seriously. So that moment, I was just like very heavy. It was hot. It was uncomfortable. And I was just like, oh, I'm just so disappointed with what I've let happen to myself, and I'm going to change it.
Got it. And do you remember like what you did after that moment? Like what happened? Like, what did you do? Did you start doing research? Like, what changes did you make? Like, what happened after that moment that like everything changed?
Well, so my mother-in-law had belonged to a group that was called TOPS. It's a nonprofit weight loss group, and it stands for Take Off Pounds Sensibly. And she had passed away by that time, but I called a friend of hers that I knew was in the group, and I asked her about the group, so she told me when the meetings were. And then I started doing some research on weightlifting, and I found a book that I used, but I think the heaviest weight I had was like a 10-pound dumbbell. And so I bought like some dumbbells, and I bought an exercise bike. So I did the little weightlifting routine in this book, which was very minor compared to what I'm doing now. So I started doing that 3 times a week, and I started riding that exercise bike an hour 5 days. And then I started going to those weight loss meetings.
And were you weighing yourself consistently?
Once a week at the meeting.
Once a week at the meeting. Okay. And then is that the frequency with which you weighed yourself basically forever thereafter?
Until like probably about the when I started that paleo diet, I think I was just weighing in once a week. And then when I started that, I started like tracking every day. But then when I went through that period of time after that, where I was eating all that food, I didn't get on the scale for a really long time because like it would put me in a bad mood. So, but now I'm back to weighing every day and just put it, I have an app that shows the trend and everything. So.
And which app is that?
Libra.
Libra. Got it. Okay. And just shows you like the data overall rather than just like what you weigh that day or what it was compared to the day before.
Yeah, I can go in and look to see what my weights were every day, but mainly what I do is I just go in and look at that line. It has a graph and it shows the trend line. And I think I might have a goal weight in there, so it like gives me an estimated date. If I continue with the trend I'm on, this is the estimated date when I'll get to that goal weight. But that said, I don't really have a goal weight. My goal is I have some clothes that are a size smaller than what I am right now. And I remember when I was fitting in those clothes, I liked the way I looked. I liked the way I felt. So whenever I get back down to that size is when I'll stop.
Got it.
And start maintenance.
Perfect. Well, so let me ask you this. Going forward, is there anything – I know that in the email you wrote me that you had some questions or maybe you have some new ones. Is there anything at this point that you think I might be able to help you with or questions that you might have?
Yes. So one of the things that I've recognized in doing the Unicorn Strong Challenge is that I do not like workouts that go longer than 45 minutes. And I noticed, because those workouts were taking me about an hour, and I noticed that I started dreading going to the gym. And so I also realized I don't like workouts when they have four sets. Of whatever exercise, unless it's really low reps, those aren't too bad. So I just kind of wondered, like, whenever I pull up whatever workout I'm going to use out of the IC, if it takes me an hour to get through it, what's the best way to figure out what to scale back? Because, okay, I guess I should probably tell you one of my personality traits is I tend to be a rule follower, but if the rule doesn't work for me, like an hour-long workout doesn't work for me, I kind of have the philosophy that any workout is better than no workout. So a 45-minute workout is better than a workout that I don't do.
100%. I love that.
I totally recognize I won't get the benefit of the workout as written, but I'm okay with that because I'm just doing this so that I can help my husband move the couch or, do things around the house. So I'm just kind of wondering, one thing is what's the best way to look at a workout and scale back if it's a little bit more than what I want to do?
Absolutely. That's a very, very, very good question. And before I even go into answering it specifically, I just want to say one thing that strikes me as incredible about what you've done is how consistently you're able to recognize this is going to be a long-term thing. Like you're not like in it, or you're not looking for the quick fix. Like you're happy about like 1 pound a month type weight loss. Like you understand, like trusting the process, it's going to take time. And then 2 years later, you start losing weight. Like you have consistently shown that you're not in a rush. And I very much believe that that mindset is absolutely contributing to you not getting frustrated and quitting and allowing you to enjoy the process while you're trusting it. So that's extraordinary. I just want to make sure you know that. in terms of the actual strength training programming. Could you tell me, if you had to pick one goal from the strength training, what would it be? And I know you already said that you would just want to help your husband, like, sort of move the couch. Like, is your main goal more just like the strength that you're building carrying over functionally to your day-to-day life? Is there more of an aesthetic component? And keep in mind, I want to mention this. There is no wrong goal. And there's no, I know that there's usually more than one goal in mind. I just want to know, like, what do you think is sort of the main driver for you?
Okay, so definitely just the functional strength. I made peace with my body. It doesn't matter. I mean, of course I want to look better than what I look now, but I'm so happy with my relationship with food right now, like, and the fact that I'm not spending all this mental energy every day thinking about what I can and can't eat. When I got through that and my relationship with food got into a healthy space, I realized that that was the most important thing. And while, you know, I'm still going to make effort to lose some fat, my main thing is just keep this healthy relationship with food, enjoy my time in the gym, and what I'm doing in the gym is going to keep me, I do a little bit of cardio so I don't get all winded when I walk up and down stairs, and just being able to do things functionally.
Amazing. I know there's like very few things more frustrating than feeling like you're in shape, but then going up a like 10 stairs and being winded. It's like, what is going on? So with that in mind, in terms of, especially in terms of the way that I structure the inner circle workouts, I would say just like as the quickest answer is going to be eliminate the last circuit. That would be the quickest answer, and it would probably be the most efficient. The reason I say that is because the beginning part, I would say like if we split it up into, we'll call it four sections, like you have the first, the second, the third, and the fourth, which is usually the pairing. So you have the first main movement, like the strength, the really, really strength-based movement, whether it's a squat or a deadlift or a bench or an overhead press or push-up. Those, I think, are indispensable. Like you need to do them. And it, really, I couldn't imagine a question about the workouts in which I would say, you know what, just get rid of the first movement. I think like anybody, whether the person's goal is to run marathons or your goal is just to be more functionally strong and have your performance carry over to everyday life, like that movement is bar none the most important, because that sets the tone for your entire base strength. And strength is the base of the pyramid, and everything else is built on top of that. From there, I would say so that was like the first quarter of the workout, and then we have the next half, right? So we have the next two quarters, which is like the another strength based movement, or almost like a superset, and then another superset. And I think the benefit of these three quarters of the workout for what your goals are could essentially make up a very complete workout for you. The final circuit, which often does say optional on there, is really more for the aesthetic component, whether you're looking to get a little bit more muscle tone, muscle definition, and or if you're looking to increase a little bit more of your endurance and work capacity, maybe if you're doing some more athletics. But that last aspect is a little bit more for the extra side of things. If you have the extra time, and if you want to put an hour, maybe even like an hour and 10 in your workout. But so really quickest and easiest way I would say is eliminate that last circuit and you're good. And I don't want you to feel like you're missing out on anything by not doing that. So like, it's very important to know, like, just doing the workout without that is a very, very, very good functional, effective workout. And for whatever it's worth, if you do decide that you would like to get that in at some point, you're more than able to do that at home or do that at another point in time or do that the following day. Like, it doesn't have to be that little circuit is done immediately at the very end of the workout. If you want to push it back or save it for the next day, that's totally fine.
Okay, that's great, because that was one thing I was kind of wondering about. So, okay, that's awesome.
Perfect. Perfect.
I have other questions, if that's okay.
Absolutely not. No way. Of course. I'm here to answer your questions. What else? What else can I help you with?
So one of the main things, I know when I first messaged you, a lot of it revolved around menopause and the issues that I was having. And I think the biggest factor for me and all of that was that, like, I felt like I just didn't have the amount of energy that I normally had. And then also you mentioned in your podcast that one reason that it's harder to lose weight when you're in menopause or during menopause is that your activity level decreases. And so I started thinking about that. I was like, well, yeah, I get home from work now and I finish the dishes after supper, I go sit in the recliner. And when I was younger and the kids were home, we were doing the activities, and like, I wasn't sitting down until I laid down in bed. And so I have tried at work, like, I teach in the morning and then most of the afternoon I'm free unless I'm in meetings. And I have tried to get up from my desk and go take walks around the building, but I'll get really engrossed in what I'm doing. And the timer will go off and I'll be like, oh, I'm in the middle of something. And then I finish it and I kind of forget, you know, when I finish to go take that walk. So I started adding, I had been doing cardio and I started adding that back in, as kind of my way to get that extra movement. Is that a good plan?
Just to add some more cardio in to get extra movement?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That's extraordinary. I can't even begin to tell you how incredible that is. And I've been talking about it more recently in on my YouTube videos and a little bit of Instagram, but I think more on YouTube. The amount of research showing the benefits of even just a little bit of extra movement, whether it's 10 minutes of walking, 20 minutes of walking, the amount of benefits that we get from that on a physiological basis, not even like psychological, emotional, just physiological purely, is incredible. The amount our body responds to movement is extraordinary and outrageously beneficial. So yes, like, purely from the physiological standpoint, without question. But that doesn't even take into account the mental side of it and the emotional side of it and just how good it makes you feel, and then how that will ingrain more habits down the road. Like, I could not be a bigger proponent of deliberate movement throughout the day, and whatever that means. Like, sometimes deliberate movement is exercise. Sometimes it's just making sure that you walk for 20 minutes. Other times it's maybe like whatever, like, some people might join like a rec league so they could play soccer together. I mean, there's no wrong way to do it. Creating time in your day to schedule out movement, I could not possibly love that anymore.
Okay. I have a really hard time keeping up with your YouTube videos. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym. So I go to bed fairly early. So by the time I get done doing dishes, it's like I don't really have that much time in the evening. And so I've been taking my tablet with me and I watch the videos when I'm on the exercise bike at the gym.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. When I don't do that, I read a book. So,
and I mean, you joined the Inner Circle in January, correct?
Right.
I mean, you know what I think and what I believe. So I appreciate you watching them. But I mean, I would not be the least bit offended if you did. I mean, you know generally what I very much believe and think, especially just from being in the inner circle.
Right. But I still get a kick out of watching them. So
thank you. I appreciate that. And what else? Is there anything else that you'd like to ask or have questions on? I know that you had several questions in your email. I don't know if those are if we've covered those or not.
Yeah, for the most part, the last one I wanted to ask. And before I ask this, I just wanted to mention that the little intro video that you and Susan did in the August edition about people giving up and then restarting and giving up and restarting. And then you guys said there are certain times when maybe it's just not the right time. That really resonated with me because when I look back on my journey, there are times when it's kind of like peaks and valleys. And there are times when I go down into this valley and it's like I, for whatever reason, work or I had surgery or whatever, I just don't have the mental capacity to be as focused with my goals. And so one of the things that that's been helpful to me, and I guess I've been doing this long enough, that I tell myself, you know, this just isn't the time right now, but that time will come again. I just keep reassuring myself that while I'm not as focused right now, that time's going to come. And it kind of happened at the end of June. Like I had been struggling for a little bit, probably from like April to the end of June. And then, I don't know, something just clicked and I got a little bit more focused, started doing that extra cardio in the gym, started making it to the strength workouts 3 times a week and was tracking calories and was staying in a calorie deficit. And so I just wanted to say I thought that video was really awesome.
Well, thank you. And I'm so glad to hear that. And, you know, I think it's an aspect of life in general, but especially in fitness that I don't know if it's discussed enough, and probably I'm part of the problem with that because I don't think I discuss it enough. But one thing that Susan and I, we wanted to really make sure we hit home about in this edition was that sometimes, I mean, we all have goals. Like we all have certain goals that we want to achieve. And I think it's a lot of times it's very easy to get down on yourself when you can't do everything you need to do to achieve every single goal. And a lot of times you don't even, it's easier to be a critic of yourself than it is for other people. And like sometimes it's easier to sort of forget everything else going on in your life. And then as soon as you remember the one thing that you can't do or that you haven't been doing, you just like come down on yourself really hard. And, you know, it's one of the things that just sort of listening to you speak at the beginning of our conversation that it sounds like that you've been incredibly good at is being very moderate with yourself. And during the times in which you weren't, you could then look back thereafter and recognize it objectively and say, okay, well, this is what I need to do to change. And this is what I need to do to change. And understand that change might not happen and probably will not happen immediately. And it will take a significant amount of time, and that's okay. And that's your whole trust the process thing, where it's, I love that. And I think it's much, 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 much easier said than done, but to be able to really trust the process and know that just because you can't do something right now or right now might not be the best time to really go after it doesn't mean that it will not happen or won't happen. It just means that right now it can't really take your full focus and you might be better off focusing on something else. And in doing so, you might actually achieve that goal faster because you're not just at a standstill. You're doing what you need to do in this moment, which will then help you do what you want to do in the following moment.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I just thought it was really important that you guys pointed that out, because I think when people are first starting out and those things happen, you don't have that. Like, I have background, I have history that I can look at and go, oh yeah, you know, for 2 months during that time, it happens every semester at the beginning of the semester and the end of the semester. I have about a week and a half to 2 weeks that it's like, yeah, I'm not going to be as focused on my nutrition as I normally am because life is crazy and I have to get all these things done by deadlines. And but then I know I'm going to pick it back up when that slows down. So, and so my final question is about, I finally am eating in a calorie deficit. I lost about 4.5 pounds over the last 4 weeks. And so when I first started, it was mainly just hitting my calorie goal or under. And now, so I did that for 30 days and now I'm focusing on the calorie goal and protein. But I have a question about my protein goal.
Okay.
So on the video I watched about macros, it said your goal weight times one. But then when I looked in the Unicorn Strong Challenge information nutrition stuff, it was goal weight times 0.7.
Yep.
And so do I just pick something between those two or?
So this is a really good question and I'm glad you asked. So the one thing that I've struggled with as not a coach, but as a content creator, and I think that's an important distinction to make. As a coach, when I'm in control of the individual's prescription of how many calories, how much protein, I have no problem with it because I can create it and I can manipulate it based on the knowledge that I have and what I think is best. As a content creator, you then have to realize, okay, I'm going to be giving out recommendations and I understand that there will be a certain number of people who will be able to listen to it or watch it or read it and understand it and then apply it. And there will be some people who will be like, this is way too complicated. Like, I don't know what that means. And they're not willing to do it. And for me, the most important thing that I can do as a content creator and as a coach is to make everything as simple as possible to a point where more people will take action and do it than will not. And so the reason that in the public video I used the number one rather than 0.7 is because obviously multiplying your goal body weight times one is way easier than doing it by 0.7. And it might seem – actually, I feel like if anybody would understand this, it's you because you're a teacher. Something as simple as that difference between 1 and 0.7 will make a radical difference in the actual percentage of people who give it a shot. And so in the inner circle, I used 0.7 because the people who are in the inner circle, they've already taken a massive step towards improving their health and fitness, and they just the fact that they're not watching a free YouTube video, but they've invested in their health and fitness. They're already there. They're watching that video. They're interacting in the Facebook group. They're doing the workouts. Like they're among the population of people who have already proven that they're ready to take action. So for that group, I'm okay using the 0.7, which is more research-driven and more accurate because they're more likely to, at the very least, go in the Facebook group and ask a question as to why. Whereas on the YouTube video, if they hear 0.7, like, well, nope, not going to do that. I don't do decimals. Like, then they're done, right? So the 0.7 is technically more accurate. But if we break it down even further, if we look at 0.7 versus 1, what's going on is that all that would do is it would mean that if someone's using the 1 as opposed to the 0.7, it just means they're going to be eating more protein. And then the question becomes, is more protein going to be bad in terms of reaching your goals? Absolutely not. Like, without question, like, there is absolutely a zero negative side effect to doing one as opposed to 0.7. The reason that I stick to the 0.7 in the inner circle from is because, aside from the fact that people are going to be more likely to do it because they've already taken that step and they've proven that, what happens is when you have less protein, when you have that 0.7, you have a little bit more leeway for carbs and fats. And it doesn't mean that you can't have more protein. It just means that now in your diet, because you're not having more calories from protein, you have a little bit more calories for carbs and fat should you want them. But if you decide that you'd rather eat the 1 gram or the one per one for your goal body weight, then that's totally fine. And in fact, that's usually what I do. For me as an individual, I actually tend to go towards that one as opposed to the 0.7, just because I really enjoy protein and I do like to eat a lot of it. But it's not like either one is better or worse, good or bad, right or wrong. It's more like that is the solid range that I recommend, and that's the reasoning as to why I did one in each place.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense, because I was going with the higher number to begin with, and I was having to eat more protein than what I typically do. Well, I'm going to have to increase my protein a little bit, but it was making me increase it so much that, like, I was like, oh, I can't have that watermelon or else I'm going to have more calories. And even like last night, I was under my calories, but I was under on protein as well. And I was like, well, I guess I'll have a protein shake to get my protein number up. And it was okay, because it wasn't going to put me over the calorie number either. But I didn't want the protein shake. I was like, I'm completely satisfied. The only reason I'm drinking this is because I need more protein. Which is kind of what I was finding happening. So if I use that 0.7, I think that will put me, I'll have to get about 20 more grams of protein than what I was getting on average when I was tracking without trying to hit a protein goal.
That's
doable for me. I can do that.
And you just perfectly outlined exactly like the nuance in all of this that I think is the most important, in that I would in the same thing that you said almost earlier about the workouts, like something is better than nothing, right? Where it's like, it's the same thing with protein, where a lot of people, if they see that they have to hit that one, for example, and they're like, well, that's like 50 more grams of protein than I eat in a day. Like, there's no way. And then they don't change anything. But if they do with the 0.7, and or even if they don't do the point, what if they did like 0.5? And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, that's only 25 grams more protein. Like, I can do that. And so now they start eating more protein, even though it might not be the quote unquote optimal amount of protein based on what research says, it's still better than what they were doing before. And it's like they're getting more benefit from the higher protein intake. They're getting more full from it. They're having more muscle sparing effect. There's so many positive benefits, even though it might not be optimal. It's the same thing that the sort of example that I use. If your gas tank is on empty, but you only have enough cash to fill it up a quarter of a tank. You're not going to say, ah, no, I'll just leave it on empty because I can't fill it up all the way. Like, you're going to fill it up a quarter tank and do what you can do to get to where you need to go. It's the same thing with this. Like, I would rather somebody have a little bit more protein, even if it's not exactly what would be optimal, because at least they're moving forward and taking a step. So whatever you need to do in order to at least just keep moving forward and stay on a positive track towards achieving your goals, that's the most important. Regardless of whether it's 0.7, 0.85, 1, and if 0.7 is simpler and easier for you to follow and still enjoy your nutrition and still like stay on track, I would absolutely go with that.
Okay. Well, I kind of started a new challenge on Monday where I'm doing the red X on the calendar. But the one thing I was kind of like, I'm not really, I did my first protein goal was 140 grams. And I was having to plan my meals the night before to be able to hit that. And I was like, oh, no, this is not going to work because I'm not going to do this for 30 days in a row where I'm planning my meals the night before. And so then I went in and I watched the video and I looked at the information in the inner circle. And then I was like, okay, so for right now, I'm not going to do the protein thing until I could talk to you about it to see what my goal is going to be so I can get that red X.
That's perfect. I love that. I absolutely love it. So this is great. So now you have a solid goal and understand what you should be hitting for your protein.
Right.
Amazing. Terry, that's fantastic.
All right.
Are you feeling good? You're ready to get after it?
I am. So I've got some momentum going, and so that is motivating me. You talk about that like you have to get out there and do it. And I did that for about a week, just kind of made myself do stuff and then got that momentum going. And so got that cycle in place.
I love it. Is there anything else that I can help with?
Nope, that's it. I just really appreciate you taking the time to visit with me.
Of course. I appreciate you getting on the phone with me. Thank you so much. And thank you for all of the kind emails that you've written. And thank you for being so basically generous with your time. And I appreciate you. And I'm very, very, very lucky to have you in the inner circle. And I hope you know if I can help with anything, that's what I'm here for, always.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Terry. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.